Margaret, can you see me?
Yes, I can.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Pat.
Pat, why don't you sit on Jeff's lap?
I'm not on Pat.
Why not? No, Jeff, you're smaller. You sit on Pat's lap.
Yeah.
You know, I think I'm going to make our discussion here a bonus episode.
Well, I know. Okay. Why doesn't Pat get on his phone?
I don't know.
Why do you need to see me?
Oh, that's right. I was waiting for somebody.
We love you, Pat.
Where's Mike?
We got to see you.
Did we not invite Mike?
Mike's technologically challenged.
He's challenged, period.
Long time no see. Hope everyone enjoyed the discussion with Mark O'Leary, the race director and owner of the Dust Bowl 100 presented by Zip. Welcome back to the Bicycle Indiana podcast, Life Behind Bars. Margaret B., this is a bonus episode if you didn't catch that in the little preview. But this is with four gentlemen that are really key players in the weekend for Mark. And if you haven't had a chance to meet his uncles and his dad, please do. They are buzzing around the weekend and the setup time and the teardown for the Dust Bowl. And they are just a hoot. So I hope you really enjoy this discussion. It's really a pleasure talking with these guys. I've gotten to know them over the past couple of years, and they are like brothers to me. So please enjoy some of the heckling and the fun, and get to know the O'Leary Dust Bowl brothers. All right, enjoy. Episode Bicycle Indiana's podcast, Life Behind Bars. If you haven't had to check it out or haven't had a chance to check it out, please do. I just interviewed your nephew, as well as obviously Pat's son, about the Dust Bowl 100 gravel race presented by Zip. But first, I want to have everyone introduce themselves, and I guess I'll just pick certain people and they can say who they are, where they're from, and yeah. So, Tom, I'm going to put you on the spot.
I'm the third of the four boys, and I'm on here because Mark paid me $1,000 appearance fee. So I'm making money. I'm happy to be here.
That's all that matters, right? Making money.
Uh-huh. I live on the side of Indy.
He paid me $2,000.
Good for you, Michael.
Melinda had to help Mike get on.
Yeah, she did.
All right, Mike, you want to introduce yourself?
What am I supposed to say?
Just say your name, where you're located.
Idiot. In already. My name is Uncle Mike. I located in Indianapolis, Indiana. Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm Uncle Mike. The best looking of the four boys, the youngest of the four boys.
Okay.
Most handsome. I don't know what else to say.
Well, and you got paid $2,000.
And I got paid $2,000.
Yeah. Jeff, you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Jeff, and I'm the second oldest, and I'm from Terre Haute, like the other three are, but they wouldn't admit it. But I live in Jacksonville and been down here since 84.
Thank God.
Very cool.
Yeah. Well, I'm not allowed to return back to the state. So I'm down here permanent. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. One of those, you know, legal things.
AKA. Yeah.
Well, everybody knows Jacksonville Jeff. That's it. Yep.
They call him B.
Yeah. Well, they some people.
You never told me the story, Jeff.
What story?
Why are you named B?
They call you that.
That's not for this this podcast.
Maybe for another day.
That's right.
Why do they call Pat meat and you beef?
Well, we know why he called him meathead.
So Pat's with you, Jeff, right now?
Does yeah, he's anything? Sitting over across the room.
So Pat is Mark's dad that lives in Terre Haute, but visiting Uncle Jeff.
There we go.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So like I said, very excited to talk to all of you. I know a lot of you, we've spent a couple days, you know, working the Dust Bowl 100, you know, frantically running around in the field, picking up things, putting things down, all that stuff. But I'm going to put somebody on the spot and ask, Tom, what does Dust Bowl mean to you?
Hell of a lot of hard work and $2,000 for the weekend.
Tom, when do you put in hard work?
Yeah.
I guess I should back
up
and let our listeners know that Mark's uncles and his father all come out to the Dust Bowl and they help during that weekend, driving a truck around, picking up different equipment, running around, making sure that Mark has all the help that he can get. And if you haven't had a chance to interact with any of these gentlemen during that weekend, please do. I do. I like to interact with them, but sometimes I'm forced to interact with them, which is also a great thing too. So
it's a lot of fun with the four of us. And we do try hard. We put up fences and
you do
fence and signage and whatnot. Starts on what, Friday before, Thursday before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait a minute, Tom. Did you say we?
Yeah, what's this we stuff, Tom?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. You do show up on Friday.
Show up on Friday and do a lot of things.
It's fun to get together with the other three. I mean,
yeah. Well, Mark said on the recording that we recorded yesterday or a couple days ago, just saying how it really brings the family together. Aww. And gets you all in one spot, which is, I think, sometimes difficult.
Yeah, the free food's great.
And the $2,000, right?
$2,000, yeah.
And, you know, between the four of us, nothing's really planned. We show up and we just go to work and, you know. It's pretty good. It's a good time. Saturday's rough, especially for Pat. I mean, Pat just goes all out. He's getting a little old for that now.
Pat, do you want to describe
hard to get his walker around every place?
Oh, stop, Tom. Pat, do you want to kind of describe some of the things that you do for Mark?
Well, when they let me out of the nursing home, I start out the week early running stuff down to Eminence with my pickup truck. Mark didn't have a pickup truck, so I start lugging stuff down. I go pick up bike racks throughout the week. I just do whatever he needs to get done during the week. And then towards the end of the week there, just setting up stuff, getting ready for the race.
Yeah. Uh-oh, is Mike falling asleep?
Oh, what?
Mike, what do you do on the weekends?
I drive the golf cart.
Yes,
he does.
That's all I can do. I drive the golf cart, make fun of Mark, make fun of Pat, Jeff, and Tom, and that's about all I do. And eat free food.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what.
You want to know my favorite job of the week?
What?
Driving the lead vehicle. I've done it twice.
Yeah.
And I got Jeff over in the passenger seat, and he never shuts up. Stop! No. Go fast! Slow down! You're going way too fast.
I'm clenching the dashboard pretty tightly when you're driving, Tom. So
yeah, that's what
Mike does a great job with the golf cart. I'll have to admit.
Mike.
Yay!
So Jeff, do you want to tell our listeners what you do over the weekend to help Mark out?
I usually fly in on Thursday, sometimes a little earlier, but usually on Thursday, because Friday is a big, big day. We go from 8 in the morning to whenever at night, till late, usually after registration. The thing I like about Friday is we all are together all day long, including breaking for lunch at the Eminence Dairyland, which is a fine establishment. If you've never been there, I think everybody has because it's the only place in town. but it's just fun hanging out, and we all know what needs to get done. So it's kind of fun. We just all, you know, go at it. Don't need really much direction from Mark. It's fun. And Saturday's a long day, starting at 5 a.m. and then till last year, I think we got done around 8 p.m. But last year, this was the first time, because sometimes I would fly back on Sunday, but last year I stayed through Sunday. And what was really kind of fun was hanging out with Pat and Mark, picking up all the signs from the course.
Yeah.
That's 4+ hours just driving and picking up the signs. That was kind of fun. It was you know, calm and quiet, but that's a process. Well,
quiet, you know, during the whole time, Jeff never shuts up. Yeah. I mean, hey, it's Margaret, nonstop CNN when, there.
Jeff's going to go on. Thank God you interrupted him, Tom, because he was going to go on.
Oh, I know.
On picking up signs.
It doesn't.
And there's a lot of signs out there.
Hey, Pat, hit the mute.
Hey, Tom and Mike. Last time, at one point there, when we were picking up signs, I told Jeff to get out and get one, and then we took off when he got out.
I hope you went back 4 hours later to get them.
Well, then he talked to the sign for a half hour until you got back.
And then they made me ride in the bed of the truck. So
this is the kind of discussion that I want to have, because I thoroughly enjoy hanging out with you all. And I hope you enjoy hanging out with me. I don't know.
You're our long lost sister. Heck yeah, we like hanging out with you.
She looks like you, Mike.
Yeah, I know.
My next question is, you gotta think about this, boys. What is your favorite Dust Bowl 100 memory? Can you think of any?
Yep.
Who wants to go first?
Yep.
Well, I think one that was kind of cool was the year before last, I guess. We were all, it was probably 7 in the morning, 6:30 and of race day. And, you know, things get a little hectic. And we have areas that we don't want cars going because people are, you know, on their bikes setting up and all that jazz. And there's this black Cadillac SUV that pulls into an area that we didn't want cars. And so Pat and I were standing there, and I said, I'll go kind of shoo them away and make sure they stay, you know, where the car is supposed to stay. So I walk over to the black SUV, and I'm 5'11". So I barely get up to the window of the SUV. And I get up there, I start to knock, and the window comes down, and immediately I see these ears sticking out. And I said, Reggie. And I said, Mr. Miller, you can park anywhere you want. He goes, oh, I was just trying to get up here, you know, to unload stuff. I said, you take your time. You can park wherever you want. You're good. So I got to meet Reggie Miller, which was kind of cool when he rode a couple of years ago. So that was kind of fun.
That's great. It's a great memory.
Man.
Good memory. Mine was the year Jeff didn't come.
Oh my God.
We got a lot done that year. I can tell you that.
Mine would have been the year that Jeff didn't come, except that's the same year I didn't come.
Yeah.
Pat and I got so much done that year.
Yeah. It was boring. The feedback from the riders was it was boring.
Yeah, whatever.
All right. Tom, do you have a memory?
He's regurgitating. Tom?
Do you have a good memory or a memory you want to share?
That's the problem. His memory's blank.
My memory does go blank at this age.
Tom, your face is all fuzzy.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I no, it's all good. It's all fun. I don't think I have anything one that sticks out.
That's okay. Pat, do you have any?
Well, mine was the Reggie Miller one. So since Jeff said that one, I'll come up with another one. The first year I was a lead car, Mark tells me, go 8 miles an hour, I think it is. Yeah. And so I'm thinking, okay, I can do that. So I'm leading the pack out, 8 miles an hour. They start catching up to me. So I'm thinking, I got to go faster. So I go up to 10, and they start catching up to me again. I go to 12. At one point, I'm probably up to 15 miles an hour or 16. And then I realized, no, I'm supposed to be setting the pace, not them.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
So I get back to, I tell Mark, I screwed up.
Well, I had a similar thing because when we lead them and there's on that road, there's a grade, you're going up a grade and then you suddenly get over the hump, you start going downhill.
Yeah.
I didn't speed up, but they were speeding up. And all of a sudden they're locking up their brakes. They're about to hit the pickup truck. Mark goes, speed up. You told me to stay at a certain pace. So that's fun.
I have a lot of memories, but I have one that, Jeff, this is gonna probably remind you of a moment that you'll never forget. Well, maybe you did forget because I'm reminding you now. But it was the day. Remember how I brought all the equipment in to help with the snow fencing, and we had to put those pins in and the poles and then the snow fencing, and I called them cement pins or no concrete pins. No, right?
You called them cement.
And that's the wrong word. You reacted.
Oh yeah,
I trust you've learned since then.
Obviously not. She just called them concrete.
She didn't know what it was.
She still didn't know.
Hey,
Jeff, let me just go in one ear and out the other with you.
Yeah. So every year I help the volunteers and use those pins. I think of that discussion and how I was mostly mortified the fact that I used the wrong terminology. So,
well, we have to explain to the viewers, our family owned a concrete.
Here we go again. Jesus.
And I'm
hit the mute button.
Yeah.
No, I want this.
And I'm the only one still in the concrete business, or was. So that's why it's
4 hours to pick up signs is a lot of time compared to this.
So that's why it's relevant.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Okay. Well, and also, go ahead.
Memory. Don't forget about old
Mike. I'm sorry, Mike.
Forget, I'm the youngest, best looking one here.
Good thing it's a podcast because we don't know what's coming now.
No kidding. Yeah. So I don't know who it was. It was not me, but we had the golf cart, obviously, and all the little kids, you know, all want to jump on.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who it was that gunned it, and all the kids fell off the golf cart. One of the little kids went rolling down the ground. And I don't know who it was driving. I can't remember it, but it was hysterical. They hit the gas button too quick, and all the kids went for two kids off the back went rolling off.
It's funny that you remember that story, and nobody else does.
Yeah. Maybe it was me. Maybe I fell off the back.
Who was driving it?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
This is a question that I don't know if anyone has an example or thoughts on it. But what are some of the struggles that you see? At the event that, you know, obviously Mark always needs volunteers. And people.
That's the biggest one.
What are some of the biggest volunteer positions that you think that Mark needs the most help
on? Just come out and help Friday and Saturday after the race.
Yeah.
After the race, Saturday's big. Yeah.
Yeah.
Friday's kind of an all-day deal and we plan on it, but it's fun. But Saturday, you're tired anyway and you just want to make it short, get it cleaned up.
Friday, we have Mike there, so we're good.
Yeah, we're good there.
I don't know if there's any shortage of on-course volunteers.
No, we're usually pretty good there.
Okay.
Any volunteer. We need, always need volunteers. I say we. Mark needs volunteers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, here's the next question is what should our listeners know about the Dust Bowl 100? What do you think the most important thing is from, I guess, a volunteer perspective? What do you think people should know if they're new to the event?
I think it's a family event, which is great. They have some music there, food and snow cones and kid races. And I think it's neat for families to attend.
Yeah, I believe it or not, I used to compete in events.
Of course.
Back in the day. Yeah, and endurance events type of stuff. And he has one of the, if not the best I've ever seen, just the whole atmosphere.
It's always mental endurance with him.
Yeah, it's he's got a stage.
He's played the Super Bowl, I think he's got two.
he's got everything going on. It's a great, great venue. It's a great, he's created a venue. It's really top notch. Everything's laid out well. You can enjoy yourself. I mean, I think it's a top notch event. In my opinion.
He's well organized too. He sends out emails all the time.
You know, I've never been to other gravel races or events like this, so I have nothing to compare it to. It does seem to be a top-notch event, but it's widely known. I was out in my backyard last summer, and a pack of cyclists ran through, and somebody said, "Hey, Tommy." And I looked up, and I said, "Hey." And the guy stopped, and he says, "Oh, no, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to this other guy." And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. My name's Tom. So I thought you were yelling at me." And he said, "No, we're just out getting ready." And I said, "Well, do you know Mark O'Leary in the Dust Bowl 100? "Oh, yeah, I ride in that every year." And, even back out here in the woods, it's well known and people know about it. So and what's he get? 30-some countries states and... two or three countries of riders here.
Yeah.
Tom, you don't live in the woods.
Yeah.
What
Tom,
were you?
Yeah. Tom, I would believe you, but you start out by saying you're in the backyard.
You have a tree in your yard.
I want to know what he's doing in the backyard woods.
I'm going to go show you.
I'm kind of worried about that.
Tom, I'm going to go show you. What are you talking about? Tom, see, none of you ever come visit me, so you don't know.
Tom's in the imaginary woods with an imaginary friend.
Tom's talking to himself. Hey, Tommy. Yeah.
You guys are rotten. Okay. What do you see the future? What's the future like? Oh, Tom left. No. Okay. What's the future look like? What do you think is going to happen? What do you want to see happen, or what do you think is possible?
Well, it's growing every year, so just keep growing.
Right? Well, my concern is it's. I think it's to the point to where these bigger events. I think there's bigger not sponsors, but big events that are all tied together, and they may either take his over in some fashion or another, or compete with his. That concerns me.
Right.
Yeah, because I personally think it's unbelievably fantastic the way it is. Changes, just it'll be different. I don't know if it'd be better. So
yeah.
But
hopefully, it'll get bought out.
Well, money's a good thing.
Is Tom outside now in his
my woods?
Woods.
We don't know. I'm in the woods.
He was outside.
Anyone else have any thoughts on what the future of Dust Bowl 100 presented by Zip? Well, it may not be presented by Zip in the future. Maybe something even bigger than Zip.
I think.
I don't know his growth potential out there. I don't know how big he can get out there.
Yeah.
Well, I think the discussions have been at imminence. You might be limited. You might have to go to a different place, location, have the same race, just start and stop at a different place to add more riders. Yeah. Which
I think parking is the biggest thing we talked about in the past years of how to accommodate. I mean, he's maxing out at 1,200 this year.
Yeah.
How to accommodate for the riders, but then on top of it, you have people coming in to maybe spectate or volunteer that aren't racing. Mm-hmm. So that's on top of it, more cars.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how big these things get.
Some of them, the biggest one I've ever been to, which is the biggest race, I believe in the US, is Barrie-Roubaix, and they have 4,500 people. And it's up in Hastings, Michigan, It's in a small town, but the town has so many streets and so many different spots that you can park. People just kind of ride in and just, figure it out. But it's very different than even Eminence.
Yeah. Eminence is a great town. I hate to see it leave Eminence, but maybe it has to, or does it have to grow? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. So I want to talk about the gas station and the mart, the Dairyland. There. Dairyland. Okay. I have not had any food there. Oh, what's the food like? Describe to our listeners.
You don't know what you're missing.
Yeah.
Good old gas station food.
Yeah.
It's the only place in town. I mean, they got a couple of little tables inside and outside.
The steaks mm-hmm. are great.
They have steak?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's sushi yeah, in the other room.
They have a sushi bar.
Yeah.
Fresh out of the Wabashi. Huh?
They got a good ham and cheese and soft serve ice cream.
Yes, ooh. They do.
They do have that, yes.
Ham and cheese is awesome.
Yeah.
They, it's a quaint little place. And my fear is that people, they need to respect it. The everybody that's there needs to respect that place because they can get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
It's a quaint little place. So yeah.
They seem to like us, having us there because we ask when they're, does your business grow because of Mark? And they definitely say it does and love it for the few days. Because there's every time we go down there, there's somebody in there from the race.
Yeah.
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 Well, I think the four of us eat about 22 ham and cheese sandwiches. Oh.
Yeah, we do.
We just constantly go in there. But, oh, and just so people know, they don't allow people to use their restrooms, which is which makes sense. They'd be overwhelmed. So we just try and let people know, go there. But if you got to use restrooms, go back to the venue. So,
yeah.
It's all
right. Cool little spot.
My last question, and this is a free for all, and be mindful, but let's talk about how can we embarrass Mark? Do we have any childhood stories that our listeners maybe could learn about Mark O'Leary, the race director and organizer of the Dust Bowl 100 presented by Zip? He's probably going to hate me for this.
He probably will. Pat will probably answer that one.
Pat, yeah, you'd best be.
My lips are sealed.
And that's okay.
Pat's depending on Mark to take care of him here shortly in a few years.
The problem with Mark is he's such a good human being and a good person, a good friend. He doesn't screw up any.
No.
You could have a bunch on Uncle Mike or Uncle Tom, but you can't have on Mark.
One or two of Mark's brothers would be good to, but not Mark. It's a tough one.
And Mark's a tough one.
Yeah.
I will say you all laugh the same. At least most. I mean, from Dan to Mark to Pat, maybe because that's just Dan, Mark, and Pat. But you all kind of have, to me, a very similar O'Leary laugh.
It's a trait we have to work on when we're in.
We practice.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
The hairline we really work on.
Yeah, the hairline.
Yeah.
I've got hair. I've got plenty of hair.
While it does.
Yeah.
Put that back on, Jeff.
Well, those are the questions that I have on my list. Is there anything else that you want to share about your experience as the best Dust Bowl 100 volunteers?
What do you like about the Dust Bowl?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I told Mark, I said, I look forward to cramping at mile 90 like I normally do. I really enjoy that he creates community and a family fun event, kind of what Pat said a little bit earlier. But what I said to him on the call that we recorded, and I said, I hate to sound like a mother, but I was very proud, or I still am very proud of him and what he's done, and how he started with an event with just, 30 or 40 people riding the course for free and just checking things out. And then suddenly it growing into this huge event where it's sold out in 2-3 days. Right. And you've said it perfect. Mark is an incredible human. He's hardworking. And he just really cares about the production, but also just making sure people have a good experience and then they come back. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, he is an incredible human being and I'm very happy to be part of the Dust Bowl event, but also attempt to draft off of him when I do ride with him. So,
yeah, I'll tell you a story about him.
Oh boy.
Okay.
Mute. No, I may get the story a little wrong, but the story about when his clothes fell. No, the story about the lady that lives around the corner that. They,
oh yeah.
that she wanted, she came to Mark or called Mark and wanted to learn how to ride the race. And yeah, he took time out of his life to help train her a little bit. And then she rode the race. Is that a fair?
Yeah. Thing?
That's Jennifer Ballard.
Yeah.
Jennifer Ballard.
Yeah. That was a great, great. So I've told that story. My version of it. I don't know if it's the right version of it, but she rode on to being a triathlete after that. But anyway, that's a great story. That's a great story about Mark and his character.
Yeah. Her house is actually on the course.
Yeah.
And she stopped mid-race, went inside and took a shower and changed and then continued racing.
Did she really?
Wow. She did.
Oh, wow.
She was like, it was sticky and gross and hot out. And I was like, I needed a shower. And so she went in and took care of it. So
that's cool.
That's a great story.
And her family, she has, I think, four or five boys.
Yeah.
And they always come every weekend and help.
They do. Yeah. On Friday, they help. Yeah.
They do a great job.
Yeah. They're really good kids.
And my last plug for the race is you, Margaret. Just seeing you and having fun with you.
Oh,
truly look forward to that every single year.
Dilly.
Yeah.
It's mostly Jeff just wants to make fun of my cement versus concrete, right?
Yeah. We're going to have a quiz next year about that.
50-50 chance I screwed up, right?
Exactly. hey, I'll help coach you up a little bit.
I appreciate it.
I know. Well, in the very beginning, Margaret, you supported, you brought trailer full of goods for them and everything, and much appreciated. You made it into what it is today.
Yeah. Little did you know how much snow fencing was going to be a pain until he met me.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Hey, well, Margaret, gentlemen, I'll go ahead.
Margaret, I got one question.
Yeah.
Do you want my address? So you know where to send the check to for this?
I got my money up front.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, mine was direct deposited 2 weeks ago.
Okay. If we're talking about money, you too can own a Jacksonville Jeff bobblehead for only $19.99.
What? Maybe those could be some prizes for this year's race.
Oh, they're coveted. They could be. Yes. So,
Jeff, do you want to describe your bobblehead to our listeners?
It's a bobblehead of me. That's all they need to know. With my hard hat, doing one of my little sessions. What's Mark called those things? We're getting ready to shoot another one.
Dumb and Dumber.
What's the topic coming up?
I know we haven't decided yet. We're going to
cement versus concrete, Jeff. Now you got to do it.
I was going to say, Pat, the last time I tried to find your house to like drop a key off, or I was picking up something and your house like didn't exist on the Google Maps or something. No. And I just kept circling.
It's a new road.
It's a new subdivision back there. Yeah. So it's not on Google Maps. We like it that way.
Yeah, I bet.
That's back there in the woods.
With Tom.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, is Tom back inside yet?
Yeah. He's stuck in the woods. A bear got him.
Oh, boys.
Great.
Fantastic. Keep up the good work, Margaret.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You're awesome.
And please listen to the other episodes if you want. It's something that I discovered that I really enjoy, these recordings and podcasts, and I interviewed a fair amount of really, really unique people that are in Indiana doing great things. So
that's awesome.
Good.
I want a podcast too, so can you help me out?
Yeah.
No.
We can work on that.
Okay. I think the FCC will have something to say about that, Mike.
All right. I hope everyone has a great Friday, and
okay.
I will see you in July.
All right.
Will do. Awesome.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. We hope you really enjoyed this podcast. For more information about our organization and other future podcasts, visit www.bicycleindiana.org. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you have a really great day.